This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me by regular mail or through the website. And the website also has a weekly meditation that I post every Monday, as well as other useful information on it. So if you'd like the mailing address or my website address, you might want to get something to write with and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to start with Luke chapter 24 and verse 33. Last time we had looked at this beautiful meeting of the two that were traveling on the way to Emmaus, the meeting that they had with the Lord, when Jesus himself drew near. And as I said, that must have been an experience that they recounted to others. They went and told the disciples in Jerusalem. We know that they likely would have told it to their children and then to their grandchildren. But the point is, this was a wonderful experience, meeting the Lord. Jesus himself drew near. And that's a wonderful thing. When instead of sins separating us from God, and instead of us trying to avoid the presence of the Lord, we enjoy his presence because we know that through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he has put away our sin, he has forgiven us, he has put our sin away as far as east is from the west, and now instead of there being a barrier that keeps us from enjoying his presence, there's a desire to be in his presence. And these two disciples, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us and talked with us by the way. And they were taught by the best of masters the things in the Old Testament that concerned the Lord Jesus. Now, after he vanished from them, the story picks up in Luke 24, verse 33, and says this: "So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.'" So they weren't the only ones who had been blessed with knowing that the Lord was raised from the dead. Most of us feel that Simon had a personal meeting with the Lord before the one we've read about at the end of John's Gospel, and that the Lord had a particular interest in Simon Peter, wanting to make sure that he understood that there was forgiveness with regard to his denial, and that there was that the Lord was still wanting to use him. There was no doubt that Simon Peter really did love the Lord. And of course, we've read about that at the end of John's Gospel, when Simon says, "Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee." And so while he had his problems, yet he was one that the Lord knew was loyal to him, and the Lord had been risen indeed and had appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road. In other words, these two that had were on their way to Emmaus and had broken bread with the Lord, now they've come back, and they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be to you." Now, again, it was necessary for the Lord to convince his disciples that it was he himself that had been raised from the dead. And yet when they see the Lord, this scares them. Verse 37 says, "But they were terrified and frightened, supposing that they had seen a spirit." And apparently seeing a spirit was terrifying to them. But the Lord says to them, he appears in their midst. It appears he came out of nowhere. And he says, "Peace to you." Now, the normal Jewish greeting is peace, and that's shalom. But as I understand it, this word is not that normal greeting, shalom. This is a word that is really saying, be at rest. Don't be troubled. Don't allow yourself to have your confidence shaken. You don't have to be terrified. Peace to you, or rest to you. And so we go on. It says, "But they were terrified and frightened, supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?'" Do we have doubts? Oh, I think that all of us have doubts at times, and when we have doubts, we need to have a meeting with the Lord, and we usually have that meeting with the Lord by hearing His Word, either through the teaching of others, or we have a meeting with the Lord through the Holy Spirit bringing to mind or guiding us to portions of Scripture that convince us once again of the truth of all that we have believed. I know that some of people have trusted in the Lord and then later on have wondered if they've trusted right. And they've wondered if there's truth to any of this. Well, folks, those questions, we can't deny we have them, but what we do is we admit we have them and let the Lord eliminate the doubts. Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 6, calls these doubts the fiery darts of the wicked one, and they're quenched by the word of God. And so the Lord quenches them here by reminding them of the fact that the scriptures had said that this all must take place. And so he says, why are ye troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. So we're being convinced here that the Lord was raised as a real man. I don't fully understand this, because this man had a body that could vanish in a moment and could pass through doors. And I realized that the Lord hid himself and passed through a crowd that wanted to destroy him during his earthly ministry. And so he could make himself unnoticeable or invisible, but this seems to be different. And yet he has flesh and bones. It never mentions that he has blood now. I don't know if that's important or not, but it doesn't mention that. But he's a real man who has been raised from the dead, and he's convincing them that he's not sending a spirit to them. He's not sending a prophet to them. He's not sending a wise man to them. He himself has come to them, and he wants them to understand that he's the one who died at the cross, and he's the one that has been raised from the dead. And he says, handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, or his hands and his feet. So it appears that the marks of Calvary were still in his hands and his feet. That's where the nails would have been placed. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So I think this is kind of a double negative. I think they were believing, and I think they did have joy, but they were astounded at what was taking place and had trouble expressing their joy and their belief. So I know by the end of this passage, they certainly had believed, but I think they when it says they did not believe for joy, I think they had so much joy that it was hard for them to express their belief. And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate in their presence. People have said, well, we eat in heaven. I don't know, but the Lord could eat here on earth. Is this the same body he's going to have in heaven? Well, it seems to be different from the body of the Mount of Transfiguration, but yet it may very well be the body he has in heaven, because we're going to be convinced when we see him that it is the Lord himself. We're not going to be in doubt about that. And so he said to them, these are the words which I spake to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Notice again the importance of Scripture. He had opened he began at Moses and the prophets and expounded the things in the Scripture concerning himself to the two on the way to Emmaus. And now he is saying that all the things that were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me must be fulfilled. How important it is for us to know the things that are written. People want to see miracles today. People want to have experiences similar to what the disciples had, but it's more important to have the written word of God and to be able to go back and read it and reread it, and to read it first as a letter that helps us understand who the Lord is, but to read it as a contract that assures us that when we trust in Christ, we're trusting in the right thing, and to read it as a devotional communication, a letter that tells of God's love to us. We can read it in so many different ways, but we need to rejoice in the fact that God has given us something that not one jot nor one tittle can ever be unfulfilled in. And I know there's a lot in the scriptures that are going to be fulfilled, and we may misunderstand how they're going to be fulfilled, but I do know that they're going to be fulfilled, and the things concerning Christ and his first coming were all fulfilled, and he was making sure that they understood those things. And so not only did he reveal himself to them and show that he was the same person who had been crucified, he showed them that this was himself and not another. It was not a vision. It was not a spirit impersonating him. And then when he proved to them that it was he himself, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Up until then, they had had trouble comprehending the scriptures. And while I believe that anyone who wants to be saved can be saved, I still believe that for us to truly be saved, we need to have the Holy Spirit convince us of the truth of the scripture. And what convinces you may not be the same thing that convinces me, but the only way we're going to be solid in our relationship with God is if we have confidence in truth. And the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I believe that when we preach the gospel, we not only need to preach it from the Old Testament and show how that Christ fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures so that we can have confidence that this is the very Christ, but we need to preach the New Testament scriptures so that people can understand the application to us today from the Old Testament, because we are not Jews. We are God's people, we are God's spiritual people, taken from the Jews and the Gentiles and made into one body. And the truth today is applicable to the church, and we need to understand how the Old Testament truths are the illustration of the principles we believe in the New Testament. And we need to have our understanding open, but most of all, we need to have our understanding open to the fact that without Christ, we'll never enter heaven, that we have to believe in his death, his burial, his resurrection, and that he has died for us, and that when he cried from the cross, it is finished, that we can depend on that finished work. And it is true that we can read the Bible and that may not be real clear to us until the Holy Spirit enlightens us, but the Holy Spirit will enlighten everyone who comes in a true and honest heart seeking the truth, and then we'll have something to depend upon. They comprehended the scriptures, and we need to comprehend the scriptures, because that's where our assurance is. Christ died for the ungodly. That's a statement that we can depend upon, and I hope your understanding has been opened so that you can trust in that and in the fact that the Lord is coming again. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson today. Bless those who have listened. We're thankful for thy love. We're thankful for thy salvation. We're thankful for everyone who has been able to comprehend the scriptures. We just thank thee then for all that thou hast done for us in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.